Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Admission Insight. My name is Chandler Frazier-Pauls, and we hope you are having a fantastic fall. Today, we are super excited to bring you a special guest onto our show. Peter Park, Director of Financial Aid and Associate Director of Admission at the Petty School, will be joining our very own Director of Admission and Financial Aid, Sharon Jarbo, for a conversation. These two have a fascinating and important discussion where they tell their own private school story and also discuss the ever-important topic of financial aid as it relates to the admissions process. We hope you can sit back, grab some Halloween candy, and enjoy this incredible convo. As we like to say, let's go!
So you say you want to apply to private school. We're going to show you what to do. Walk through the steps to take. And everything's going to turn out great. We're going to find the right fit. Both for you and for your kids. Based off school.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks so much for having me here.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you here. For those of you who are just joining us, I'm Sharon Jarbo, Director of Admission and Financial Aid here at Pennington. And we are fortunate enough to have a guest from the Petty School, Mr. Peter Park. And what is your title?
I'm the Director of Financial Aid at Petty, but also a proud alumnus from the class of 2007.
Amazing. Well, Peter and I were on a panel together over the summer up at the master's school.
That's right.
And I have to say, I was just really impressed by your mastery over the topic of financial aid. As a co-financial aid director, I felt like I had a lot I could even learn from you. So I'm thrilled that you're here to shed some light with our interested families.
Well, thanks, Sharon. I think mastery is perhaps too generous because I think we're all lifelong learners. But as someone that shares the role with you, it was clear on that panel as well how fortunate Pennington and your community and your team is to have you in your leadership role. Because I think so much of what we try to convey on that panel was that these are real people, right, who understand the journey into independent schools firsthand. And I know you and I share a similar story in different pathways, right?
I think so. So for those of you who don't know Peter and I and haven't heard our stories, we both attended independent schools, boarding schools. For Peter, it was Petty. For me, it was actually the Hunt School, and we could not have attended without funding that was generously afforded to us by those schools. So our work in this area of opening the door and funding dreams is a really like a personal mission that we take very seriously.
Yeah, and Sharon, I think the idea of funding dreams really resonates with me because, you know, at 13, trying to discover what was out there, you know, 20 plus years ago, websites were not as sophisticated. There were no virtual panels. I think folks were traveling perhaps a little less, right, on the road. So I still feel incredibly fortunate to have had the boarding school experience here at Petty, but now to be in the position to work directly with families. And for, you know, all of your esteemed listeners and guests and families, really, you know, I can relate to that moment firsthand sitting around the dinner table with my parents and presenting this sort of bewildering idea to them about living at the place where I'm going to learn, right, with classmates from all over the world. Oh, and by the way, there's a price tag at the time of about $35,000. And, you know, to my Korean immigrant parents, they just, their jaws just dropped and said, "It sounds amazing. How are we going to afford it?" Right. And I think for many listeners here, that's often the driving question of, it sounds like an amazing opportunity for my student, my child. How do I afford it? So I'm eager and excited to kind of dive into that further in this conversation.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I'm a bit older than you. And when I attended boarding school, it was about $6,000 or $7,000. There was no internet. Yeah. But I can say that I rode my bike to the public library. I got out a yellow book. It was called The Peterson's Guide to Boarding Schools. And it was on the bottom shelf. It had dust on it.
Oh, my gosh.
And I rode away to schools and started to get some information, some admission packets. And my parents, you know, great line to me was, "What, do you think we're rich?"
Yeah.
And I said, "No, but I think I need a better education. I think I deserve a better opportunity. And I think there might be ways to figure it out." So you and I are still helping families figure this out.
Mm. And Sharon, I know I've had the privilege of hearing your story in the independent schools before, but I didn't know that entry point with the public school or the public library, I should say, which is actually similar to my journey in that that was the place where I knew I could use a phone, like a reliable landline, and get in touch with the admissions office. It wasn't over email. And I still remember the library in East Rutherford, where I grew up in North Jersey. And, you know, traveling in there, right, and getting dropped off by my mom to kind of have that office hour period, right, to go and contact the admissions office. So thanks for sharing that, because that was new for me. Yeah.
Yeah. So for our families out there who are wondering how they can support their children in this dream and how the schools can support them, where do you think we should start? What would be a good entry point?
Yeah, I think to start, you know, I feel very fortunate to be part of an organization and really an association of independent schools that does significant research in partnership with parents and guardians, teachers, administrators, and enrollment and financially people like you and I. And in the most recent survey called the How Parents Pay Survey from the National Association of Independent Schools, this is about a 4 or 5 year, I think, recurring survey. One of the data points that really resonated with me was that, you know, the emotion of stress, right, of the association of concern really around paying for tuition was one of the highest indicators noted in the survey results, which was a first in, I think, the 15 years that this survey has rolled out. And I feel fortunate to volunteer for our association's financial aid advisory task force and speaking with great colleagues and mentors like Mark Mitchell, who's our VP of Access and Affordability, and him noting to the task force, this is an insight that schools need to be able to pay particular attention to, right? I think affording anything can be stressful, but thinking about the investment towards your child's education and their experience is that much more so. So how do we understand that, the national landscape of that, but also locally then really be in tune with our families? And I think there's a lot of strategies where schools like Pennington and Petty and many other colleagues are considering that in marketing and accessibility of our office. But I think there's always more, right, that we can do. But to me, it really centers around empathy, right, and having the awareness. And for families who are listening to know that they're not alone, right, and feeling that stressful.
And I feel like that emotional factor of the tremendous stress around the ability to pay could have almost been predicted by a predictive model when you started to look at, I think it's been for at least 20 years that our tuition increases have been outpacing increases in income.
Yep.
So you could see that the emotions were eventually going to have to follow the numbers.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, in the world of higher ed, this really not just the concept, but the reality of this enrollment cliff, right, of families are, the numbers are sort of declining and this general concern. We see that in K through 12 first, right? So we've been able to track that potential drop off. But I also think, unlike higher ed, our approach to affordability isn't through loans, right? It's through grants. And so that's one clarification point that I think is important for prospective families is that schools like ours or independent schools have independent resources, right? Through the generosity of donors and advocates who believe in that independent school experience. So to know going into this process that there is no expectation to pay off a loan, right? These are primarily need-based grants. And then you and I can talk about selective merit scholarships and other funding sources too, depending on the school environment.
And just to know that you're not alone, that you are a part of a large group of families who want to make these choices of these incredible, well-resourced schools available to their students, but who can only do it with some financial funding. That's pretty normal now. Like, are you comfortable sharing what percent of the Petty applicant pool checks off that they're interested in financial aid and or applies?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this past year we had about 1,200 actionable kind of admissions decisions, right, that rolled out by March 10th. And, I think the majority of families click the I'm interested box because it's for every family to consider, right? Whether you are have the capacity to pay full tuition or not, I think having the information and understanding also Petty's commitment, right, to access and affordability is an important part of that kind of decision-making process. And, you know, currently we have about 37 to 38% of our student body receiving some form of financial assistance. And I think the average grant is just north of about $55,000, right, towards the price of a significant commitment from the school. But I think you and I discussed earlier, Sharon, that the resources won't matter until families understand it's for them, right? That these resources exist to make it affordable. And so really, I think beyond having empathy for our prospective families and understanding that they're not alone in feeling the stress of payment, I think for school administrators to have that actionable awareness and then to be able to meet families where they are with real resources is an incredible approach from independent schools.
Something that always excites me when I'm at a school fair is I see the families wandering around the tables and I look at all of us behind the tables and I know that we collectively represent tens of millions of like maybe more than $50 million of per year.
Yeah.
Tuition assistance might be standing in any room at any given moment. And I think, I don't know if everyone realizes this, but there is funding to be had.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, often it's a tough hurdle sometimes, right? To say, well, without the exact knowledge of what's my estimated contribution, even towards the sticker price of tuition, so, you know, that initial sort of shock, right, can often deter a family. But, you know, you and I both understand working with families directly that it's beyond that price. It's what's the, as I described to our community here, it's really about the relative scale of affordability, right? That relative scale really means what your contribution will be. And it's all circumstantial. And in our approach with independent schools, a financial aid need-based assessment is unique to every household. Right. So the time, attention and care is really just tremendous, actually, when you think about the quantifiable kind of hours, right, put into making sure that we're meeting families where they are. So the commitment beyond the resources, it's really the people behind that process, too.
And that, right, that we all, you and I use different platforms right now.
Sure. Yeah.
Clarity and you're on, are you on TADS, SSS?
We are, yes. Yeah.
And but either way, these platforms provide an algorithm that will assess the family's ability to pay based on primarily their income, their assets, expense, allowable expenses, and debt.
That's right.
But that, because, like you're saying, every application has a human story behind it. We as humans reinterpret what the platforms spit out.
Right.
We are not bound by it. And there is always a subjective aspect.
That's right. And I think that subjectivity, right, with the expertise of using a verified methodology, right, through the National Association of Independent Schools means that there's a trusted sort of guardrail in place, right? When we think about terms like income protection allowance or what does the discretionary income mean, all that really translates to how can we best serve this family for where they are that year? And I think it's also worth noting that these are recurring sort of evaluations, right? For any family who's within an independent school, they know with re-enrollment, often schools like ours will ask for a reapplication because we know firsthand that life happens continuously outside of your enrollment at a particular school. And each season could be different. So, you know, to have that structure in place, I think, maybe not guarantees, right, but it can help ensure that a financial aid office, an enrollment office, can really review what are those circumstantial changes year over year and make adjustments too. And I think sometimes on the front end, that that conversation point gets a little lost, right? That there's a continued commitment to reassess. But I think that's worth noting and stating here.
And I think that brings up a great point, or an FAQ. Yeah. Families are often curious, you know, how our budgets work. And I think they're always a little suspicious that an award the first year is sort of like a signing bonus.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And that the award's going to go away. So that whole process of reapplying for financial aid is so that we can tweak the numbers a little bit up or down if there's been some change. It's usually not dramatic, although in rare cases it is.
That's right.
But the family should know that when all of the schools in this area that we're a part of, when we give an offer of financial aid, we are budgeting it for the child's duration with us. That in our minds, if they're starting freshman year, we are thinking this will be the approximate amount for 4 years.
That's right. And that commitment really is sustained because of, whether it's the endowment draw from the school, the careful leadership and the stewardship, right, of these budgets. And I would say in my 11 years back at Petty and in this office, that budget has certainly increased, right, over the past decade to meet the demands and the needs of our households in order to ensure that a Petty education, an independent school education here, is that much more affordable. And going back to what you mentioned earlier, Sharon, beyond the numbers, I think it's important to also reiterate that there are the numbers and there's the narrative with every application. And some practical advice that I would share with this audience is that whether you're on one platform or another, there's often an opportunity for a household to convey sort of an optional statement. And I stress this with or reiterate this with every family that I work with, that that is meant to be sort of an open space to create dialogue. And whether a family feels comfortable sharing in great detail or not, I would encourage each household to consider that space and to know that it's meant for them, right? To share perhaps an unusual circumstance, if there was an unfortunate change with job loss or these conditions, right, in life that continues to happen, again, well outside of our application deadline and process. It's I think a really good opportunity to convey that. But it has to center around trust too, right? That you're conveying something that is so important and so intimate about your life and your willingness to share that to ultimately help towards an assessment. So I would just share that practical advice to take advantage of those spaces and then find the people, right? And connect with the people behind the process.
And I tell families if it feels awkward to put it into the actual form on the internet, online, to call the director of financial aid, we're happy to, or make an appointment. Sometimes people want to share this kind of context in person.
That's right.
The main thing is to find the way you feel comfortable and share it. No, it will be held in confidence, but it will expand the context in which your application is considered.
Absolutely. So again, it's beyond the numbers, right? It's that supported narrative. And I love the fact that you brought up the phone call, right? I think in terms of accessibility, I mean, you and I are able to connect on this virtual call right now. And there's so much more capability for families, even compared to my experience 20 years ago. I hope that you don't have to consider your public library, right, in order to pick up the phone. And that even if you are in that circumstance, to know that there are people who are willing to meet you where you are, to listen, right, and to better understand. I can't stress that point enough, that these are dedicated advocates. And we work within this independent school environment because ultimately we care about student experiences and families investing, again, on that relative scale into our community. So whether it's picking up the phone, it's setting up a Zoom call, it's joining one of our many now webinar sessions or info sessions, to take advantage of all of those channels, right, and all of those pathways.
So you started talking about the stress.
Yeah.
The increased level of stress that families feel around their ability to pay and how they're going to pay. And that's definitely a concerning and negative trend. Mm. But I'd say in this same atmosphere that trend, a positive trend that has been created is that there's less of a stigma around financial aid. I have definitely noticed that in my time. Have you noticed that, that it's being more normalized, more comfortable to discuss?
Yeah, I think setting the norms around affordability in this day and age of independent schools is such a critical change, right? And a positive change where you're right. I think 20 years ago, and to be very transparent, our family qualified for over 90% of tuition at the time. And so there was a sense of, you know, just trying to figure out how would we be afforded this opportunity. And if I'm given this chance and I'm awarded this amount, what do I owe the school? And when I arrived at Petty, I didn't feel that at all, right? It was really just the perception of that on the front end. But the reality was I was welcomed. It was an inclusive space. I felt like I could participate in everything and take full advantage of my student experience. But had I let both myself and my parents' initial perceptions of, well, we might not be able to afford it, or they might not give us enough, you and I wouldn't be having this conversation right now. So I think going back to, again, overcoming that initial hurdle, understanding these resources are for you, is the initial step that I would encourage.
Agreed. So do you have any, because I think we've been discussing for a while, have any like tips that you'd like to share or impart before we start to wrap this up?
Yeah, I think just to reiterate, to know that there are caring advocates behind what looks like just an application, right? We care about deeply about your students' future success and your relative investment in our school communities. And then a broader piece of advice is really to inquire about other channels, right? There's one aspect of affording the initial tuition, and then there's affording the overall experience, right? And I think more and more independent schools have become acutely aware of the overall cost of attendance, right? To truly participate, to thrive, to be part of a great experience, sometimes there are additional costs. But with each cost, every school might have a little bit of a different approach. Some might have great endowed funds, which are really sustained financial resources dedicated from the school to help with those extras. Some might allocate that through the financial aid office or student life office. But really, this idea that you are able to afford a full experience, right? And schools like ours are dedicated to that. So to continue to ask those questions once you arrive, because I think a lot of our focus today was around that entry point. But as I share with a lot of our families, you need to be prepared to both arrive and then have your student thrive here, right? And part of that conversation is asking questions, figuring out what are the resources that are dedicated to your student, and allowing yourself to ask the questions about resources that are meant for you. So that's what I would encourage listeners and prospective students and even current households in an independent school setting to ask questions, right? Know that these resources are for you.
I agree. If I had any parting words to share with families, it's just to let them know that more and more, all of the schools in this area and possibly the nation, but certainly we are very familiar with our colleagues in this greater Princeton area and the conversations around access, inclusion, and affordability are more rich, they're more detailed, and our boards of trustees are interested in them. We're all committed. We're all in this together to keep our schools available to the students who would thrive in them.
Well, Sharon, thanks so much for having me on board today. It's always a pleasure to see you, and I hope we can connect in person soon. But thank you for this opportunity. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you. You're really the best.